Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Good Tuesday morning, a flashpoint on college campuses.
Protests erupting nationwide. It's April 23rd. Good morning. This is Today. Chaos on campus. Tense protests at schools around the country as pro-Palestinian demonstrators occupy buildings and set up encampments. Police moving in to make arrests. Classes going remote over safety concerns.
It is complete anarchy.
We're live with the overnight developments. In contempt, a key hearing today in the historic hush money trial of former President Donald Trump. Prosecutors saying he has repeatedly violated the judge's gag order. As the first witness takes the stand, a once powerful tabloid publisher. We're live with what to expect in the courtroom. Pumped up. Gas prices on the rise across the country. Some California stations topping $7 a gallon. What's behind the spring spike, and will we see any relief before summer? Tesla trouble, an important day for the world's most valuable car company and its controversial founder, Elon Musk.
The clock has struck midnight for Musk to lay out a strategic plan for the future.
Amid layoffs, slumping sales, and tanking stock prices, as Musk faces new scrutiny over his massive compensation. We're breaking it all down. Those stories plus, ladies first. A new study finds women have a better chance at surviving in the hospital if they are treated by a female doctor. A look into the revealing research. And Rocky Mountain High. The defending champs pull off a dramatic win in Denver. And that wasn't the only game that went down to the wire. The highlights from a wild night in the NBA playoffs. Today, Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Well, good morning. Good to see you. Welcome to Today. So happy you're joining us on this Tuesday morning. Good day for Denver. Good day for New York.
I know.
Knicks did well. Congratulations.
Listen, Denver, LeBron and the Lakers sent packing. Knicks pulled off that comeback win over the Sixers, but it's only game two of the playoffs, and they're headed back to Philly, so we shall see. We will begin with another night of disruptive protests at college campuses across the country, tensions ramping up nationwide as demonstrations continue over the Israel-Hamas war. The protests, mostly pro-Palestinian, taking place on several Ivy League campuses, and they're now spreading to other schools like NYU, MIT, and Michigan.
Some of the schools forced to go remote this morning. The increasingly heated demonstrations are now raising questions about hate speech on college campuses. NBC's Erin McLaughlin is at the NYU campus where there were several arrests overnight. Hi, Erin. Good morning.
Good morning, Hoda. With Jewish students across the country celebrating Passover, there are major security concerns at NYU and other universities. You can see behind me a barricade set up outside NYU University. Meanwhile, over at Columbia University, seen as the epicenter of this protest, we're getting new pictures there of the encampment going strong. University officials there announcing that classes will be hybrid until the end of the semester, with many questioning if these protests will continue to spread. Overnight, a tense scene at New York University. After pro-Palestinian protesters were forced to leave a campus plaza. NYPD moving in with riot gear, police breaking down encampments as a sea of protesters marched through the city streets. It comes as tensions flare at Columbia University, now entering its seventh consecutive day of pro-Palestinian protests.
Palestine!
With the school announcing main campus classes will be hybrid until the end of the semester, stating safety is our highest priority. After the university's president's call to de-escalate the rancor, a massive NYPD presence was around the campus as a growing number of Jewish students report feeling unsafe.
It is complete anarchy.
Students like Andrew Stein, who says he was on campus late Saturday night for a pro-Israel counter-protest, but left terrified by an angry mob.
They started saying in Arabic, Hamas, Hamas, our beloved, please bomb Tel Aviv.
Stein says this video shows him being followed off campus.
Me and my friend had water poured, like physically poured in our face.
At the pro-Palestinian encampment in the heart of the university, heated confrontations.
Go back to Poland is not anti-Zionism. That is anti-Semitism, and that was said.
The pro-Palestinian students we spoke to say they have no knowledge of any anti-Semitism on campus Saturday night.
Anyone who makes any threat to any Jewish student, we oppose you. We do not associate with you.
Patriots owner and Jewish alum Robert Kraft, a major donor, announcing he is pulling his support until corrective action is taken. That tension now spreading to other campuses nationwide. In California, students setting up encampments at Berkeley and police moving in at Cal Poly Humboldt. Protests at the University of Michigan, Harvard Yard closing this week. And at Yale University, 45 students were arrested Monday and later released after they'd refused to leave their encampment at the campus center.
Here we were just exercising our freedom of speech.
Meanwhile, at Rutgers University on Monday, a 24-year-old man was charged with a federal hate crime for allegedly breaking into that university's Islamic center during the Eid celebrations earlier in the month. Many are left wondering if this will continue to spread.
All right, Erin McLaughlin, for us there at NYU. Erin, thank you.
We turn now to the criminal trial of former President Trump. Prosecution's first witness, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. He'll be back on the stand today, and his testimony comes as the former president faces another critical decision in court. Prosecutors are asking the judge to hold Trump in contempt, arguing that he has repeatedly violated a gag order in the case. NBC's senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett here with the latest. Laura, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning to you. This issue over what the former president can say and cannot say about this case almost turning into a trial within the actual trial. Prosecutors say he is deliberately flouting a court order, pointing to nearly a dozen different violations, and that was even before his comments on Monday.
Donald Trump once again overnight testing the limits of the judge's gag order on the eve of a key hearing.
That jury was picked so fast, 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrats.
Weighing in on the jury, a potential witness, and the prosecution in a radio interview.
They have people in the case that have some very serious problems with what they've done.
This, as his defense team seeks to beat back allegations, he's repeatedly violated the judge's gag order, which bars the former president from commenting on jurors, witnesses, and the DA's staff. This morning, Mr. Trump will also face a key witness in this trial, David Pecker, publisher of the National Enquirer, back on the stand today, expected to help the state flesh out the timeline of an alleged criminal conspiracy to win the White House in 2016. Prosecutors telling the jury that Pecker met with Mr. Trump and his former fixer Michael Cohen at Trump Tower back in 2015, the trio concocting a plot to catch and kill damaging stories about Mr. Trump by paying people off and muzzling them with non-disclosure agreements.
Hello, how are you?
But it was the release of the Access Hollywood tape that motivated Mr. Trump to direct the payoff of Stormy Daniels, prosecutors say, because he was so concerned his standing with female voters was cratering. And Daniels had threatened to go public with a story of sex with the former reality TV star, an encounter Mr. Trump denies. So Cohen paid Daniels $130,000 just before voters went to the polls.
I did it at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald J. Trump.
Mr. Trump then later reimbursing Cohen through a series of checks, prosecutors telling the jury Monday they agreed to cook the books on his business records, recording the payments as legal expenses. While the defense team told the jury Cohen cannot be trusted, and the 34 counts are really just 34 pieces of paper.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing.
Now, back in court today, the judge will first take up these potential violations of the gag order. Prosecutors point to several that they say are intentional, asking the judge to fine Mr. Trump, and if he does it again, asking for a more serious punishment, while the defense says he must be allowed to defend himself, and reposting something someone else says shouldn't count under this court's order, guys.
Well, that will be interesting. Meanwhile, not under a gag order and speaking freely is Michael Cohen, mm-hmm. who was out with some pretty choice words, shall we say, for the former president. He's not under the gag order. I can't imagine prosecutors are too thrilled about this.
No, he's not under the gag order. In fact, only Mr. Trump is under the gag order. But Cohen, of course, is a key witness for them. So anything that he says right now, he can be cross-examined with at trial. And it just shows you all the baggage that he brings to this case.
I don't think we can repeat what he said.
I think we probably shouldn't.
In the tweet. Yeah. But fair to say it was directed at Mr. Trump.
Yes, directly. And essentially goading him into testifying, saying he's so desperate. He's just coming after him.
All right. Laura Jarrett, thank you very much.
Let's move now to Washington. Today, the Senate is expected to take up the $95 billion foreign aid package that has divided the Republican Party. That bill includes funding for Israel and Ukraine passed in the House over the weekend. NBC's Ryan Nobles is live on Capitol Hill. And Brian, when will this get to the president's desk?
Well, Hoda, good morning. It is expected to pass as early as today, and by the latest tomorrow, the bulk of the $95 billion package is more than $60 billion in desperately needed weaponry for Ukraine. It also allocates $26 billion in military aid for Israel, which does include humanitarian aid for Gaza, and then a little more than $8 billion for Taiwan. It has gotten bipartisan support because it includes GOP priorities that some Democrats are willing to back, including a potential ban of TikTok if its Chinese owner doesn't sell its stake within a year. But it comes after months of stalling by Speaker Johnson, who changed his mind after a high-level intelligence briefing on the war, all despite threats from House Republicans to oust him from his job, in part because of Ukraine funding and, of course, working with Democrats.
Hoda? So let's talk about Speaker Johnson for a second. Are there still a risk of him losing his job?
Yeah, there still is, Hoda, and some House Republicans are looking to drum up support to oust him. But as of right now, he may be safe largely because of the support he is getting, including one key backer, former President Trump, defending him in an interview yesterday, citing the razor-thin majority Republicans have and saying that, quote, he's trying very hard. And of course, Democrats have not ruled out stepping in to help Johnson if it came down to a vote, which seems even more plausible now that he's passed a foreign aid bill that they have been pushing for. Hoda.
All right. Ryan Ebels for us there in D.C. Ryan, thank you.
A new development in the case of four murdered University of Idaho students. Attorneys for the suspect are pushing to have his trial moved out of town, and the judge is allowing them to go forward with a survey of potential jurors. NBC's Liz Kreutz has got more on that decision. Liz, good morning.
Hey, Savannah. Good morning to you. Yeah, Koberger's attorneys want the trial moved out of Latah County, saying the juror pool there is already tainted due to the intense media scrutiny on this case. To prove their point, they began surveying local residents. A judge initially ruled they had to stop that, but has just reversed that decision.
This morning, an effort by Brian Koberger's attorneys to justify a change of venue for the trial in the murder of four University of Idaho students now back in motion. A judge ruled Koberger's defense team can continue surveying potential jurors in Latah County, whom they argue are biased against their client.
These are deeply held opinions in this community within this jury pool.
At tense hearings earlier this month, prosecutors objected to the survey Koberger's attorneys sent out to local residents, which included a list of questions about the trial.
Have you read, seen, or heard if Brian Koberger stalked one of the victims?
Prosecutors argued the questions violate a gag order in the case and accused a defense expert of intentionally tainting potential jurors.
False. That Mr. Koberger allegedly stalked one of the victims. That's false. You know that to be false.
I did.
Yes. And so you have now, for anybody who had never heard that before, that question is now planted into them, unqualified representation that Mr. Koberger stalked one of the witnesses. And that's false.
The judge initially ordered the defense to stop contacting residents, but has now reversed course, saying Koberger's attorneys may continue its surveys without modification to the survey questions.
Does allowing this survey indicate that it's very likely there will be a change of venue?
Changes of venue are very difficult to get.
But if this survey really tends to show that Latah County potential jurors are just so completely biased against the defendant, then they may have a chance of moving it.
It's been more than a year since Brian Koberger was arrested and charged with murdering college students Madison Mogan, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zana Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin in an off-campus home near the University of Idaho. A judge entered a not guilty plea on Koberger's behalf. The case getting so much attention, his attorneys say too many people in this small town have already made up their minds.
Now, overnight, the family of victim Kaylee Gonzalez expressed their frustration with the way the case is being handled, saying the survey is a ruse being used by the defense in an attempt to keep the trial out of Latah County. They say, we pray the trial stays with the citizens of Latah County and that justice is served. Meanwhile, Koberger's attorneys, they say the results of their survey so far show a majority of residents they questioned had already determined that Koberger is guilty. A hearing, guys, on whether to move locations is scheduled for June.
All right, Liz, thank you very much.
It is 7:15. Craig joins the table. You got gas prices on the rise again.
Yeah, hello, Savannah. Good morning. Good morning to you as well, folks. If you haven't filled up that tank lately, be prepared to dig a little deeper into your wallet. NBC senior business correspondent Christine Roman's here to break it all down. So obviously it depends on where you live in the country. But in terms of gas prices right now, what kind of a surge are we talking about?
Yeah, well, they've been going up more than a dime, really, for the national average over the past month or so. So you've probably noticed that you're paying a little bit more, searching in the couch cushions and in your pockets for extra nickels and dimes. It was $3.67 overnight is what we're talking for the national average. But that's right about where it was last year, actually even a couple of pennies below last year. And the reason why prices have been going up is because there's this seasonal shift in the kind of gas that we burn. We burn a different gas in our cars in the summer. And so these refineries have maintenance and upkeep that goes on. And then they switch to the seasonal blend. So it's usually a peak happens in April and May. So we're right on target there. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's been so much tension, conflict, war in the Middle East. Usually that makes the prices skyrocket. We haven't exactly seen that, though, have we?
And I've been really surprised. If you look at gas prices today, exactly where they were a year ago, what's different? You've got a major, major confrontation in the Middle East. So that is a surprise to me and something to keep watching. When you talk about California, those gas prices way above $7. Mm-hmm. People in Massachusetts this morning, good morning, sorry, your gas prices are up 20 cents over the past week or 2 weeks. Again, that is that seasonal shift in the kind of oil, the gasoline that we're using, the kind of oil that we're refining. And so that's totally normal. And a lot of these experts, Gas Buddy tells us, they think the worst of that is behind us.
All right. Christine Romans.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine. Speaking of the seasons, Mr. Roker, look what the wind blew in.
Good to see you and good to see you as well. Little on the chilly side this morning, northeast into the mid-Atlantic. 41 million people under freeze warnings here in the northeast. Also in the Appalachians, frost advisories all the way down to the south. We are looking at chilly conditions this morning. Atlantic City, you're 36, Roanoke 41. Providence, Rhode Island, 39 degrees. Warmer out west, but again, you see Atlanta, Memphis, Dallas, New York City, all a little below average. We go into tomorrow, Detroit, 12 degrees cooler than average. Binghamton, New York, down 12 degrees. Same in Indianapolis with double nickels for a high today. But then temperatures turn milder. Louisville by Saturday, 80 degrees. New York City will be about 60. Syracuse, mid-60s. Blacksburg, 71. In St. Louis, you're going to look for a high of 82 degrees on Saturday. And that's your latest weather, guys.
Al, thank you. Coming up after a rough couple of months, today is a big day for Tesla and its controversial founder, Tom Costello, following that story. Hi, Tom.
Well, the sales are sliding. The stock's down more than 43%. They got a major recall underway. And yet the CEO, Elon Musk, still pushing for a $56 billion pay package. Has the shine come off Tesla? We're looking into that.
All right. Hoda. Thank you, Tom. Plus, a new study that is sure to have people talking this morning, why your doctor's gender could have an impact on your health. But first, this is Today on NBC.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's 7:30, Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Celine Dion, no one does it like her. Well, she's given fans an update on her health and perhaps some hope that one day she could perform again as she wants to. Yeah. What she is saying coming up in Popstart in just a few.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now to a critical day for the world's leading electric vehicle maker, Tesla, and its CEO, Elon Musk, expected to report profits today and perhaps more layoffs as sales have taken a dramatic slide. NBC's Tom Costello following the story for us. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. It's the world's most valuable automaker, expected to post its first revenue drop in 4 years. It's been under pressure to roll out a lower-end electric vehicle. That's not happened yet. Elon Musk continues to talk about a fully automated robo-taxi, which has a lot of skeptics, just as he's looking for a multi-billion dollar pay package. So the pressure is on this morning. This morning, one of the world's richest and most controversial men and his company are under increasing pressure.
The clock has struck midnight for Musk to lay out a strategic plan for the future.
This is a big day for Tesla as it reports earnings and Elon Musk lays out a strategy to get off a rocky road. Car sales dropped 8.5% in the first 3 months of the year. Its stock, once a Wall Street favorite, is down 43% so far this year. 4,000 Tesla Cybertrucks under recall for a faulty accelerator. The company laying off roughly 10% of the workforce, perhaps more. Just as the Tesla board pushes for a 56 billion pay package for Musk, negotiated years ago if he achieved certain sales targets, which he did, though a judge threw that out, ruling the board was too cozy with Musk. In an interview with Don Lemon last month, Musk remained confident and defiant.
Tesla is worth about as much as the rest of the car industry combined from nothing. So, that's pretty good.
But investors want to know what's next, pushing for a cheaper mass-market Tesla and for Musk's vision of a fully autonomous Tesla robo-taxi after a series of high-profile autonomous vehicle accidents.
We've seen what their full self-driving vehicles have been able to do. Some of it's very impressive, but it is not in a position, at least yet, for humans not to have their hands on the wheel.
Meanwhile, electric vehicle sales have been dropping, forcing many car makers, including Tesla, to cut prices. And then there's politics. The Wall Street Journal reports Democrats, among the first to embrace EVs, have shied away from buying Teslas since Musk's controversial comments on X, formerly Twitter, about anti-Semitism, immigration, and Disney. Though on CNBC last year, Musk suggested he would not be deterred.
So you just don't care. You want to share what you have to say?
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Well, amid Tesla's current trouble, Musk has postponed a trip to India to make an investment announcement with the prime minister there. As for the robo-taxi idea that Musk has been pushing, some experts say Tesla will have to be prepared to accept the legal liability for the fully autonomous cars if it is involved in an accident and it's driving itself. Tesla's autonomous vehicles right now aren't really fully autonomous. They still require a human hand on the steering wheel. Guys, back to you.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much. Coming up, a new look at the life and career of legendary broadcaster Barbara Walters, who got her start right here on Today. The new biography that reveals the obstacles she faced while paving the way for generations of women in journalism.
But first, how the gender of your doctor could affect the quality of your care. Emily Aketa's
on a new study about that. Hey, Em.
Hey there. Good morning to you. After reviewing hundreds of thousands of patients in the hospital, a new study shows mortality rates could be lower with a female physician. So what does that mean for you? Coming up, we are diving into the study and looking at what could be behind the difference.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
This morning on In Depth Today, a question. Could your doctor's gender make a difference in your care?
Well, a new study that's just out overnight attempts to tackle that controversial question. Our Emily Aketa is here to break down the new research. Hey, Em, good morning.
Good morning to you. This is a sprawling study that looked at nearly 800,000 hospital patients over more than 3 years and noticed a difference in particular for female patients, finding they fared better when treated by another woman.
In a study that's stirring up discussion this morning, researchers have found women are less likely to die or have to return to the hospital if treated by a female doctor, especially if they're severely ill. The study in the Annals of Internal Medicine looked at hospital patients 65 and older who are on Medicare, finding 8.15% of women treated by female doctors died within 30 days, compared to 8.38% of women treated by male doctors. Although the number is small, the authors say that erasing the gap could save 5,000 women's lives each year. Dr. Amy Fiedler was part of what's believed to be the first all-women team to perform a heart transplant.
Whenever we see an impact in mortality, that's something to pay attention to, because the difference of one life to any given person can mean the world to them.
More research is needed, but the study authors suggest female doctors may communicate more effectively and help alleviate embarrassment during sensitive exams. Also noting male doctors may underestimate sickness in female patients. In recent years, women's role in medicine has soared to record levels, making up 38% of physicians in the U.S. in 2022, up nearly 10% from 2008. But there's a long history of sexism in medicine that persists today.
I'll be wearing a white coat and introduce myself as the surgeon. Frequently, I do get misidentified, not as the surgeon, but as a different member of the care team.
How can we improve the environment for female physicians?
I think it's important for young women out there to see that they can do this job and that they should do this job. Look right at me.
So there are limitations with the study, including its narrow focus on older hospitalized patients who are on Medicare. And remember, a patient's outcome is influenced by multiple factors. But experts say the results underscore the importance of diversity in the field. Guys.
All right, Emily, thanks. Let's bring in NBC medical contributor Dr. Natalie Azar with more of what we need to know. Yep. I was just thinking as this was going on, I realized that all of my doctors are women. Mm. I mean, I just went through in my head. And I think it's the feeling of a female doctor hears you. When you say something, they're not trying to explain it away. Is that really at the nut of this?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's sort of this convergence of, you know, miscommunication or misunderstanding and maybe some bias. The researchers basically offer three different explanations for why this could be happening. One is that maybe male physicians underestimate illness severity, right? And that can delay appropriate treatment. And the other is that female physicians are more patient-centered when they communicate. What does that mean? It means they're really getting that crucial information that can make such a big difference. And then in terms of that pairing of a female physician with a female patient, issues, urologic issues or gynecologic issues that are so sensitive that women just might feel more comfortable discussing with a female physician, it could really, really impact care down the line.
So this was the study or the survey was focused on older women on Medicare. So it's just a slice of the population. But could this be expanded out to younger women in other care settings?
Right. And that's important. Obviously, they can't generalize to an outpatient setting. They can't generalize to younger patients. I'm sure many physicians out there, myself included, have anecdotes about people saying, you know, I prefer a female physician for that reason. Mm-hmm. But I think that there are some takeaways. And this is certainly for female physicians, since this is kind of like the focus of this morning's discussion. But I think it applies to any patient out there. What should you be looking for in a doctor? Somebody, obviously, I know this is going to sound intuitive, someone who listens and asks detailed questions. But this is all about time. If you have a doctor coming in and rushing out, they're not able to take a really good detailed history. You want to be able to trust, have a rapport with them. And this is so important. Do they explain things in a way that you understand? Are they using language that you understand? And are they including you in decision making?
I think it's like having the courage to say, this doesn't work for me. I'm going to change. Because I think sometimes you're like, it's the doctor. He knows. And then you take
and
what
so they
offer.
And so I want people to understand that it's okay to go to a different provider. And listen, in some
in
places
theory,
in the country,
but a lot of if you want them to be on your insurance, sometimes
that or there
zero
might
option.
Right if you have that option. And then the last little pearl I would leave everybody with is bring a buddy with you.
Yeah.
Whether it's I've had numerous female patients bringing a male partner. Doesn't need to be male, but somebody who can advocate for you and say, no, the patient, you are really experiencing these symptoms. I hate to have to say that because it feels like it shouldn't be necessary.
No, it shouldn't be.
But. You know, for women to feel that they're understood in the office, sometimes that helps.
Okay.
Well, that's depressing. All right.
I know.
Dr. Azar, thank you.
Thank you.
Let us turn to Mr. Roker for another check of the weather.
Hey, guys, things kind of quiet right now, but by midweek, we're going to be looking at more activity. Developing storm in Colorado. Best chance of storms from Texas on up to the north. Thursday, we've got severe weather from the Dakotas all the way down to Texas with tornadoes possible. We move into Friday. We've got more showers and thunderstorms from the plains in the Midwest. Locally, gusty winds. Greatest hail threat is going to be about an inch or so from Omaha all the way down to Waco. And then we move on into Saturday. More severe weather developing. We're looking at intense storms into the southern plains, Oklahoma City to Dallas, especially with larger hail, damaging winds, tornadoes also. And we look for this storm threat to continue Sunday into Monday. So we've got possibility of 5 days of severe weather starting on Wednesday. And that is your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Guys, just ahead.
Prince Louis turned six today. We're going to share the sweet way the royal family is celebrating Molly Hunter's live at Buckingham Palace with the latest right after these messages. We're back, Carson's here, 7:49.
Hey. Hi, guys. Good morning. Of course, it's a big day for the royal family. They're celebrating Prince Louis's big sixth birthday, Prince William and Princess Kate's youngest child.
And they are continuing a birthday tradition over the pond. NBC's Molly Hunter following the story for us from Buckingham Palace. Hey, Molly.
Hey, guys. Good morning. From a very rainy Buckingham Palace, it is a big day for the Wales family. Little Prince Louis turns six today, and Mom Kate, the Princess of Wales, is back behind the camera. Take a look.
This morning, Prince William and Princess Kate's third youngest and most rambunctious child, Prince Louis, turned 6 years old. And just like previous years, a new candid photo marking the day, snapped by Mother Kate, released by Kensington Palace.
For those annual photographs that Kate and William released are very beloved by the British public. You know, we like to look at those children growing up. They clearly are very photogenic.
Louis's birthday comes more than a month after the Princess of Wales released that photo, meant to reassure the public during a long absence, but causing uproar after it was found photoshopped in several places. We haven't seen the 42-year-old princess since her announcement last month that she's undergoing preventative cancer treatment.
It has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them.
Now the kids are back at school, and Prince William is back at work accepting well wishes. Kensington Palace hasn't confirmed any upcoming appearances for the Wales family, but on and off camera, William and Kate have had their hands full since day one with little Louis. Prince Louis is fourth in line to the throne and a global fan favorite for his antics at formal royal events, never shy to be himself. A couple of years ago, quizzing famed nature broadcaster David Attenborough.
What animal do you like?
I like monkeys.
And showing affection to his mom, but always the little brother. And at times, well, not fully aware of all the royal protocols.
So many royal rules when you are just a little prince like Louis. Now, the family has asked for privacy as Kate recovers. They did want to release this image publicly, though. We are told that it was taken in the last couple of days at Windsor. Definitely on a sunnier day than it is today. Guys.
Mm-hmm. He's adorable.
Happy birthday, Louis.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And by the way, someone else is going to be celebrating a birthday soon.
Who?
Molly's baby.
Yes.
Our little royal baby.
Our little royal baby's coming soon, right, Molly?
That's right. My husband Will and I. Oh my gosh, guys! My husband Will and I are expecting a baby in May.
Oh, yay! Just break the news. I guess so.
Today.
Surprise. Yeah.
Okay.
I love you, Molly.
We're so happy for you, honey.
Molly.
Coming up.
All right, we got Kaylee Hart on with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, stars of The Fall Guy. They gave her a behind-the-scenes stunt she won't forget.
Boom.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.